In my opinion, do we need national health insurance? In the nation's capital, a national health assembly is meeting. One of the big questions is how to provide good medical care for everybody, including those who can't afford it. Some say, let's set aside money to expand existing medical services. Others reply, we must have national health insurance. What do you think? Compare your opinion with those of Senator James E. Murray, Democrat of Montana, and co-sponsor of the Wagner-Murray-Dingell bill, and Representative A.L. Miller, Republican of Nebraska. Mr. Miller, in your opinion, should we have national health insurance?
National health insurance, as set forth in the Murray-Wagner-Dingell bill, is a compulsory form of insurance which takes a cut from the pay envelope of every worker in the country. This is matched by the employer. Make no mistake in your thinking or be misled. This bill is a form of compulsory health insurance. A national health program would be controlled by salaried bureaucrats. The medical student, the physician, and the public would be offered a regimented practice, federally supervised and controlled. A poll of the governors of the 48 states as to their opinions on national health insurance or socialized medicine in one form or another showed that not one single governor expressed himself in favor of such a plan. The governors of our states are mighty close to their people. Their combined opinions on compulsory national health insurance should be a proper reflection of public opinion throughout the nation. Any health insurance should be on a voluntary basis. There are many prepayment plans now working. A fine example of this is the Blue Cross or the Blue Shield voluntary prepayment plan of insurance. These plans are being enlarged and are working very successfully. Any plan must be under local control. The individual must have a free choice of his physician. The present patient-doctor relationship must not be disturbed. A health program should include education on a broad scale. The individual should be stimulated to acquire better health because physical fitness helps him to enjoy the fullness of life. A health program should include sound preventative public health measures. Prevention is far better than cure. This could be accomplished through state health departments at the state and the county levels. It should help to get a better distribution of physicians. It should help in building health centers in sparsely populated areas. This program could well include federal aid to assist the states. Most of them would be entirely self-supporting. National health insurance under the Murray-Wagner-Dingell bill would cost $10 billion a year and require 300,000 to 400,000 federal employees to operate the scheme. The plan proposes to give protection to the individual from the embryo to the grave. The plan requires a complicated and complex sets of rules and regulation with final direction at the federal level. It would not be pleasing to the patient, the doctor, or the taxpayer. Now, I made 3 trips to Europe in the last 20 years as a physician and had a close view of the medical care in the countries visited. It was a type of care which the people of that country, this country, would not tolerate. The doctors were forced to see from 60 to 70 patients every morning. There were long lines of people waiting to get into the clinic. They came by streetcar and bus and saw the physician they did not know on an average visit of 2 or 3 minutes. There were no personal interests in that particular case. These people were under a national health insurance law. I saw physicians operating on clean surgical cases without using face masks or rubber gloves. They were chattering like magpies over the open abdomen. I followed these cases through the wards where they were assigned. The nursing care was indifferent. The odor coming from the infected incisions, which started as clean surgical cases, left a stench in the nostrils that one does not soon forget. The services lacked that close personal contact of sympathy, cheerfulness, and understanding and confidence in the doctor. No amount of scientific care can take their place in the dark hours of sorrow and trouble so common to all of us. I have found as a physician that these intangible things are important. Fame may die, honor may perish, but loving kindness is immortal. You do not get that loving kindness in the type of medicine I saw practiced in Europe. The proposed national health program does not spring from our traditions nor from the public spirit. It is the offspring of a foreign ideology. Every country having it has shown that medical education becomes static and medical progress has been set back many years. It has meant a robot political medicine. It has been directed by politicians and not by men and women scientifically trained and devoted to the relief of suffering humanity. It is hard to understand why the left-wing element in this country continues such a desperate, stubborn, and relentless attempt to fasten socialized or insurance medicine upon this country. They should realize that if medicine is socialized, labor and all industry eventually would be socialized and nationalized. we would all give up a part of our freedom. Great masses in Europe have been denied freedom and crushed under the tyranny of socialism and regimentation. We ought to look at those countries who have lost their freedom to relearn and appreciate and keep alive the most humanitarian concepts of all times, our traditional American freedom. The high type of leadership and medical care in our country has been tested in the crucibles of time and economic hardships. Our hospitals and our medical and scientific care are now the envy of the entire world. It just don't work out in the health insurance plan. Our governor should be the servant of the people. The people should always rule. Why substitute another method which has failed to produce health conditions equal to those in our own country? I am certain that the great majority of the American people, when they fully understand the meaning of compulsory health insurance, would have no part of such a program. They would not want a political medical machine where their family's physician would become a memory of the past. They prefer to make their own free choice of physician and hospital. They would not tolerate the type of care the people of Europe must undergo under their national health insurance plan. Socialized medicine would require so much paperwork by the physician that he would have ink on his fingers instead of iodine. It would cause the American people to lose some of their traditional American freedom, and they would do a mental, physical, ritualistic goose-step with a tune being played in Washington.
That was Representative A.L. Miller. Now we shall hear from Senator James E. Murray, Democrat of Montana. Senator Murray.
I am very glad to have an opportunity to speak on this subject, particularly today when hundreds of our leading doctors and workers in the field of health are gathered in Washington for the National Health Assembly. Because, you see, I don't have to tell the American people why we need national health insurance. They've told me. I didn't convert them. They have convinced and converted me to the need of a national health program which can bring modern medical care within their means. But I do want to talk to America's doctors, to the doctors throughout the country who are busy treating the sick, to the practicing doctor who usually hears of health insurance only from the political doctors who are obstructing an intelligent, practical program. To these practicing physicians, I want to say that I am for national health insurance because I am opposed to socialized medicine. Nobody wants to see in this country a socialistic system of tax-paid medicine practiced by doctors employed and controlled by the state. I repeat, I am for national health insurance because I am opposed to state medicine in any form. I think it is a great misfortune to our country and to the great body of sincere, honest, hard-working doctors that they have been misled and deceived by the arbitrary action and leadership of Dr. Morris Fishbein of the National Physicians Committee. They have been led to believe by propaganda methods that the National Health Insurance Bill is socialistic, that it proposes state medicine, and that if it is enacted, it will cause a serious deterioration of medical care in this country. The truth is that it will improve and expand medical care and annually save thousands of American lives. It is based on the well-tried, truly American principle of insurance. People would pay on a budgeted basis small amounts regularly into a national insurance fund. They would pay in proportion to their incomes. The collection would be made through our existing Social Security and tax mechanisms. No new bureaucracy would be created. To this fund, the federal government would add the difference between what our families can afford to pay and whatever you doctors tell us it will cost to give them high-quality medical care. The federal government does this, and it also sets standards of quality approved by the medical profession. In effect, the federal government stops right there. All this talk of regimentation and federal control described by Dr. Miller is so much nonsense. Nonsense because our bill provides that at this point the funds be turned over to the states and by them to the local communities, with extra funds, of course, in sparsely settled areas. The people in each local community, with the leadership of their own doctors, would then develop their own local plans, cooperative plans, medical society plans, whatever plans they and their doctors thought best suited for their local needs. The financing of those plans would be guaranteed. But mark this well, doctors, because you have certainly been told differently. Our bill specifically guarantees the patient's right to complete freedom of choice of his doctor. and guarantees the doctor complete freedom from any political interference in all professional matters. These guarantees are written into the National Health Insurance Bill. No matter what you might have been told, no bureaucrat could change or violate them. Those are the simple facts about National Health Insurance. All you need do is look at our bill, and you will see that that is what it really does. I believe the American people have had enough of attempts to defeat this bill by calling names and using labels instead of arguments, calling a proposal of this sort regimentation or socialism or communism is sheer fakery. It is worse than fakery. It is downright dangerous to the doctors of America. It is dangerous because it keeps us in the Congress from receiving the help of doctors in framing a law that will make the best modern medical care available to a large section of our citizens now denied it. We in the Congress have taken great pains in drafting this bill to make it possible for the people of this country to get better medical care, while at the same time protecting the freedom and dignity of American medicine. But through the action and leadership of the National Physicians Committee, we have been denied any assistance. I have mentioned our efforts to guarantee the best modern medical practice for the doctors. If we have overlooked any provisions which would give complete assurance to the doctors of our good intent and purpose, we would welcome the sincere cooperation of the medical profession in working out appropriate provisions. Thus far, that cooperation has been denied us. America's doctors, in their own interest, must realize that it is time to stop just opposing any program. Time to stop being led around by sensational propaganda misrepresenting the truth. Time to stop listening to certain political doctors who charge regimentation and socialism and are doing nothing to aid the American people in getting relief from an intolerable situation. That is why a great American statesman, a man whose judgment has influenced American opinion on many occasions, Bernard M. Baruch, says, and I quote his words, "I urge the doctors to get in and pitch and not stand by on the sidelines. You need fear politicians or bureaucrats only to the degree that you fail yourselves." Able editorials all over the country are urging the medical profession to abandon the leadership of the National Physicians Committee and to aid American people in working out a program which will meet the recognized needs of our country. The American medical profession is for a world health program which the American people will help pay for. Why can't we have an American health program?
That was Senator James E. Murray. You have been listening to In My Opinion, a regular CBS series broadcast each Monday and Saturday. Today's guests were Senator James E. Murray, Democrat of Montana, and Representative A.L. Miller, Republican of Nebraska. They gave their opinions on the question, should we have national health insurance? We invite you to tune in again Saturday for another session of In My Opinion, when John B. Elliott and Goodwin Knight will discuss the question, are national conventions the best way to nominate presidents? Each week, Monday through Friday, Columbia brings you many programs devoted to a discussion of current problems of interest to the people of this country. For example, In My Opinion, in which many of the world's leading personalities express their views on important issues of the day, Frontiers of Science, and a report from the United Nations. Keep tuned to this station every night for stimulating programs of current opinion and discussion. For a specific day and time in your area, consult your local newspaper. We return you now to New York.